Pippen.
Elvis Presley. 1955 through 1977, the early years.
I started something, looks like I started something, but I can't finish it. Woo.
In his own words and his own music.
Want to get serious or you just want to fool around a little bit? Huh?
Hi, I'm Jerry Pippen. Welcome to our Elvis special. 31 years after the passing of Elvis, the king still lives. We open our show by turning the hands of time back to 1957. Listen as you get a sense from this announcer describing the Elvis arrival for his concert in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Big Cadillac go up in front of the B section of the stadium and is now sitting there waiting for Elvis to come out of the dressing room. So all the lights are out in the stadium now and the car is just sitting there waiting. Noise of district crowd on the west side. I'm standing right at the dressing room waiting for him to come out. The photographer is also waiting here for a vantage spot so they can take their picture as he gets into the big car.
He comes running out of a tunnel and into a waiting Cadillac convertible. He then is driven around the entire oval track of the stadium. At the end of his ride is the stage. He jumps out of the car, runs up the back stairs, and begins his show.
The comments by Elvis were recorded in the fall of 1957. His career was skyrocketing. He was already carving out the events that would make him known as the king of rock and roll.
Wash your face and hand. Get out of that bed. Wash your face and hand. Well, get in that kitchen. Make some lard with the pots and pan. I believe to my soul you're the devil in nylon hole. I believe to my soul you're the devil in nylon hole. Cause what I want, the faster my money go. Well, I said shake, rattle and roll. 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 The way you want to rattle, save your doggone soul. Shake, rattle. Peeping in the seafood store. I like a one-eyed cat peeping in the seafood store. Well, I can look at you, tell you ain't no child no more. I believe you're doing me wrong, and now I know. I believe you're doing me wrong, and now I know. Cause the harder I work, the faster my money go. Well, I said shake, rattle and roll. 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 The way you want to ride, so you don't go so. Make it again. You make me roll my eyes and then you make me grit my teeth. Well, I said shake, rattle and roll. 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 The way you want to rock, save your doggone soul.
In 1957, Elvis, no doubt about it, was on top of the heap in record sales and DJ plays for top 40 radios.
Treat me like a fool, treat me mean and cruel, but love me. Bring my faithful heart, tear it all apart. Darling, sad and blue, crying over you, dear me. I would beg and steal,
beg and steal,
just to feel,
just to feel
your heart.
I want your heart
beating close to mine,
so close to mine.
Wherever you ever go, darling, I'll be, sad and blue, crying over you, dear me. I would beg and steal,
he would beg and steal,
just to feel,
yes, just to feel
your heart. Close to mine,
so close to mine.
Wherever you ever go, darling, I'll be, oh, so lonely, begging on my knees. All I ask is please, please love me, oh.
Elvis was not only a rocker, but a ballad singer already in 1957. That song, Love Me, was number one on the Billboard charts that year. Our Words of Music with Elvis, as told by Elvis and sung by Elvis, really is spotlighting on 1957 simply because we're using excerpts from a recording of a press conference he held in Vancouver, British Columbia, just before his big concert, 35,000 people there. He had had a big concert in 56 as well at the Cotton Bowl, and later on in 57 he would go to Honolulu for another big concert. Other things happened big time for Elvis in 57. He wrapped up his final appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. 1957 was a big year for Elvis. First year he made a Christmas album. First year he moved into Graceland, and in addition to that, he made some movies. And one of those movies was called Jailhouse Rock.
Purple game, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. looking out a chance to make a break. Brother turned to shifty and he said, nix, nix. I wanna stick around, I wanna get my kick. Let it rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody, oh, say a rock. Put Danny to the jail. Danny to the jail. Danny to the jail. Danny to the jail.
Jail House Rock.
That was the King, Elvis Presley, backtagging his own song, playing disc jockey. Well, and not actually. We took that as a voice track from a press conference that he was doing. He was talking about Jailhouse Rock. You know, it was one of the few pictures that Hal B. Wallace was not the producer. Hal Wallace, of course, was famous for producing all of the great comedies over at Paramount. And even though Hal had started at Warner Brothers way back in the 20s, Hal Wallace was a well-known producer. And the Colonel had seeked him out originally. But the Colonel was never content. He got a better deal, he thought, with MGM. And, of course, that was where Elvis made Jailhouse Rock. However, on the next picture, guess what? Hal Wallace was back producing, and Elvis was back at the Paramount lot. In fact, here's Elvis talking about Hal Wallace and also the art of making pictures and his own acting talent.
He's a very, very, very fine gentleman. Well, there's nobody who helps you out. They have a director and a producer. As far as the acting and as far as singing and all, you're on your own. I mean, nobody tells you how to do that. You have to learn.
How do you rate yourself as an actor?
Pretty bad. I mean, that's something you learn through experience. I think that I might accomplish something at it through the years. In some scenes, I was pretty natural. In others, I was trying to act. And when you start trying to act, you're dead.
And Elvis and Colonel Tom Parker both were well aware, as was the country, that Elvis's first picture, Love Me Tender, Elvis really didn't do all that great of an acting job. Part of it, of course, was the way it was put together. His first scene, remember, was he looked out the window of the ranch, and the sound, you could already hear the horses riding up. He looks out, and he says, somebody just rode up. Well, on a scriptwriter's script, that may look okay, but he got guffaws at the theater. But he made up for it with a hit song from that motion picture. And here's the title song, Love Me Tender.
Love me tender, love me sweet. Never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me long, take me to your heart. For it's then that I belong and will never part. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me dear, tell me you are. I'll be yours through all the years, till the end of time. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always.
In his first movie, Love Me Tender, we just heard the song, Elvis sang a love ballad accompanied only by a standard guitar. It was Elvis's guitar. And listen to this. Elvis is talking about how much it cost, and he's talking about $1,957.
What was the question?
The guitar.
The guitar. How much did you pay for the guitar?
What did you pay for
about,
your guitar?
About $500, I think. Yes.
Is it specially constructed or just a standard?
No, it's a standard guitar. I have a leather cover over it. I had that made.
Ladies. As we look back over Elvis's career, back in 1957, Elvis had no idea that he would later on not be doing movies at all, but actually doing only personal appearances, mainly in Las Vegas. Personal appearances seemed to be Elvis's favorite thing. Being on stage live, but it did take a lot out of
just
him.
Just walk around and swallow and clench my fist. Well, take for instance, last night we had a show in Vancouver, and I didn't sleep in it till about 10 o'clock today. I get all keyed up, and it's tough to relax. Well, touring is the roughest part. It's really rough because I mean. You're in a town and you do a show, you come off, you're riding a car, you're going to the next town. Well, I think every performer likes to work to a live audience. See, I have to prepare for a show that night. And therefore, I have to rest, and we have rehearsals in the afternoon. So I don't have too much time. I'm actually pressed for time. I'm rushed for time, and I have to make every moment count when I'm on the road.
A little over a decade later, Elvis would find the happy medium of touring and making live appearances, and he would become very successful. First at the Las Vegas International Hotel. Later, that name was changed to the Las Vegas Hilton, and Elvis was the event of the year every time he came to town. And that was 3 or 4 times a year. Frankly, Elvis had found the formula. Colonel Tom Parker, of course, found the goodies. Parker was able to negotiate a top-floor suite at the Las Vegas Hilton while Elvis did the singing. Elvis, of course, brought the audience to him. So the touring was a lot easier. But yet he could feel the live audience night after night after night. Let's play a song that was number one for Elvis Presley when he was the king of Las Vegas. Suspicious Minds.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see? What you doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? We can't go on together with suspicious minds, and we can build our dreams on suspicious. We can't.
Well, let's face the facts. Anybody that's in the public eye is their life is never private. I mean, everything you do, the public knows about it, and that's the way it's always been. That's the way it'll always be.
This news conference was 20 years before Elvis would pass away. But Elvis already knew that he would continue to work. In fact, Elvis, at that press conference in 1957, had an interesting thing to say about retirement.
Retirement?
Yeah. What do you think about it? Just quitting. Well, when?
I'll put it like this. I'll never quit as long as I'm doing okay.
You'll never quit? What do you consider doing okay?
Well, I mean, as long as you're pleasing the people, you'd be foolish to quit.
One of the things about Elvis Presley is that he's still a very, very popular man, a popular entertainer, an icon. And I guess one of the reasons came out in this press conference way back when he was only 22 years old in 1957, and that was that Elvis sincerely, sincerely appreciated his fans.
I would like to tell everybody how very much I appreciated them listening to my records and everything.
Well, I can say this much.
I'll do my best to continue to please them and put out songs and movies that they like.
By 1957, Elvis was well aware of his appeal to the opposite sex.
I've been scratched and bitten and everything.
Huh? What do you think about it?
What do you think about being scratched?
What do I think? I just accept it with a broad mind because actually they don't intend to hurt you. I mean, it's not that. They want pieces of you for souvenirs.
What's going on in the beautiful ring on your left hand?
That's a star sapphire. There was a girl gave that to me in California. A crowd of people can hurt you and not even realize they're doing it, you know.
You haven't much of a private life right now, then, have you?
No, sir, I haven't.
Well, where do you go for a quiet cup of coffee nowadays?
When I'm traveling around, I don't go anywhere. I just eat in a room.
In 1957, the magazines, the fan magazines, and also the magazines that you find at the supermarkets, the tabloids, they all had things about Elvis and romance. Well, Elvis was well aware of this facet of his life, but really, Elvis at this point was in love with his career. And as far as being in the movies?
I think it's great. In fact, I like it better than any phase of the business other than the public appearances.
You'd rather be in movies than sing, shall we say?
Well, no, I'm not going to say that.
Elvis Presley and Colonel Tom Parker had a unique arrangement. They split equally all of the income. In fact, toward the end of Elvis's career, the Colonel even made Elvis pay for the expenses and all of the supplies, promotional advertising, and etc. But back in 1957, 22-year-old Presley had nothing but good things to say about the Colonel. In fact, he talked about the Colonel in this press conference and revealed how they got together in the first place.
Actually, I wasn't known at all until Colonel Parker started managing me, you see, and I got on RCA Victor and on television, and then I started being known.
Before that time, you were recording on the Sun label for Sam Phillips down in Memphis?
Yes, sir. I was known in certain sections, you know.
Who would you say is responsible for your greatest success in the music field? I mean, getting your big start away. Where did you get your start? Was it in Western music that you got your start? How did Hank Snow fit into the picture, if he did?
Well, at the time that I started singing, Colonel Tom Parker was managing Hank Snow.
I see.
And that's how we got connected. I don't know why Hank and my name were linked together so much, because actually we wasn't connected in any way in business. I just worked on some of Hank's personal appearances.
Early on, many of the people in the music business considered Elvis a country act. Elvis was asked about country music and if that was his favorite, or was it rock and roll? And he had a surprising answer.
My first, I would say, would be spiritual music.
Like Peace in the Valley and that.
Not exactly that. I mean, some of the old colored spirituals, you know, from years back.
It's generally known now, looking back over the Elvis Presley career, that his mother and his dad had a great influence upon his love of gospel or spiritual music. Later on, Elvis would put out spiritual music on his LPs. and they would always sell well. One of our favorite religious songs by Elvis Presley is not a gospel or a spiritual song, but more of a contemporary song of religion and of faith. It was a big hit in the early 50s by Frankie Lane. Here is Elvis and his version of I Believe.
I believe for every drop of rain falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe of a storm's smallest prayer can still be heard. I believe someone in the gray somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky,
Elvis Presley's story. The collector's item thought to be extinct until recently. Now, all 13 hours of this famous worldwide radio broadcast series, produced in the 70s by rock and roll legend Ron Jacobs from Watermark Productions and heard around the world and hosted by Wink Martindale, is now available on CD. Hear the complete story from the cradle to the grave, Elvis Presley. He was truly the king of rock and roll. The Elvis Presley story is a collector's item with all of the music and the people who made Elvis the king of rock and roll. Order now. Limited time discount price, $39.95 plus $5.95 shipping. Don't miss the Elvis Presley story, available to you exclusively through this radio offer. Order now the Elvis Presley story. Hurry, supply is limited.
It's no one ever.
Well, it's the one for the money.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley.
Who was your
Elvis Presley?
The
one and only Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis, in the early years, 1950s up through 1957, continues. The pop era was not going away easily, however. Rock and roll was making an imprint, but there was still a division in the pop music field. And no better symbol of this division between the melody people and the heavy beat people, traditional pop versus rock and roll, was the battle between clean-cut, all-American boy Pat Boone, with his buckskin, white shoes, and the long-haired teen idol Elvis Presley.
I think he's undoubtedly the finest voice out now, especially on slow songs. I'm not saying that to make me look good. I actually think that. I thought that, you know, Boone was recording before I was, and I bought his records even back then.
Surprisingly, though, this battle was not fought between these two. In fact, before Heartbreak Hotel, Elvis, a little-known fact for you, opened several shows for Pat Boone. The two became very good friends. Elvis had always liked traditional singers, Dean Martin, Remember, when he first went to Sun Records, he recorded nothing but Dean Martin songs, to the chagrin of Sam Phillips. That was in the early 50s. Later, even after Elvis became a bigger draw than Pat Boone, Elvis still had only good things to say about his friend, Pat Boone. In the 50s, Pat Boone had a weekly TV show on ABC. Pat also made movies before Elvis replaced him as the matinee idol of sorts for the pop generation of the 50s. But Boone would stay on top, and he would fight back. He would still do the ballad, but he would add a little beat to it. Listen to this, Pat Boone singing with that little rock and roll beat behind him now. It became a big hit record, Moody River.
Than the vainest night. Moody River, your muddy water took my baby's life. Last Saturday evening came to the old oak tree. It stands beside the river where you were to meet. On the ground, your glove I found with a note addressed to me. It read, "Dear love, I've done you wrong. Now I must set you free. No longer can I live with this hurt and this sin. I just couldn't tell you that guy was just a friend. Moody River, more deadly than the vainest night. Moody River, your muddy water took my baby's life. I looked into the muddy waters and what could I see? I saw a lonely, lonely face just looking back at me. Tears in his eyes and a prayer on his lips and the glove of his lost love at his fingertips. Moody River, more deadly than the vainest night. Moody River, your muddy water took my baby's life.
That was Pat Boone. We're talking Elvis. Actually, Elvis is doing the talking. We're examining his life in the early 50s as told by himself and his music. One thing all of the music acts had in common in the late 50s was the awareness of how powerful individual disc jockeys were in shaping their careers. Once Elvis was asked about the power of the disc jockey and if the DJs had helped make him a star, Elvis was very candid.
Definitely, yes. if the disc jockeys didn't play it, the people couldn't hear it, so they wouldn't know what was happening. You know, so
who were some of your favorite singers?
I contributed to a little bit of everything. I contributed to largely to the people that have accepted me, and then the disc jockeys and the good handling that I've had, the management and everything.
You're listening to comments recorded by Elvis back in 1957, and if you took a look at the charts of that year, the list of top pop music, and especially into the following year, 1958. Not only was it evident that the DJs were powerful, but there was also something else going on, the power of the female record buyer. Taking a look at 1958 on the top 40 songs of the year on the Billboard charts, only one female voice seemed to be at the top, selling records in huge amounts. That was Connie Francis. Connie, however, owed her career to a disc jockey as well, American Bandstand host Dick Clark. She frequently appeared on his TV shows and also traveled in his rock and roll stage shows and his movies. Later, like Elvis and Pat Boone, she would do movies too. Here's Connie Francis singing the title song from one of her movies, Where the Boys Are. Presenting the history of Elvis Presley, the early years, as told in his own voice, and the music of the day. Elvis was soon to have a movie career that would stretch well into the 60s. However, in 1957, Elvis really was causing a lot of stir among deeply religious people. They looked upon him as being the king of sin, the leader of that evil rock and roll movement corrupting the youth of America and the world. The interesting thing about this was that Elvis had a love for gospel music and later would record several top-selling gospel albums.
I know practically every religious song that's ever been written.
Is that right?
Yes.
He said he did this because of his love for his mother. His mother loved gospel, spiritual, religious music very much. She was a very religious woman, according to all accounts. In 1957, Elvis was already planning to do some albums of gospel music. In fact, he was including gospel songs in his performances. And soon, Elvis would be recognized as a great singer of spiritual songs. Here's Elvis and one of the gospel favorites of all time, How Great Thou Art.
The universe displays.
Coming up next, we'll listen to Elvis Presley talk about his teddy bear collection and some other interesting trivia about Elvis and his early years. Elvis, in his own words and his music. Marvelous Marv Grand Canyon Tours offers you a unique look at one of the great wonders of the world, the Grand Canyon.
Been at the Grand Canyon area most of my life, so pretty much grew up in the area and know quite a few things that the common tourist doesn't know. And I need to avoid all the people and stuff and try to take them to secluded areas.
A day excursion, personally, conducted by Marvelous Marv.
Yeah, we started about 8 o'clock in the morning. We're done about 4:30. Absolutely. And I have a little photo CD disc for him with 1,000 of my favorite pictures and some video. And
no other tour offers so much, and no other personalized tour offers a better price.
No, I'm still the same, and I'm the most reasonable price tour of the Grand Canyon now. $85 a person. Yeah.
Call 928-707-0291 or check him out at MarvelousMarv.com.
And now back to Elvis, the early years, as told in his own words and music.
Baby, let me be loving teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck. Lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be.
Oh, let me be.
Teddy bear. Oh, I don't want to be a tiger. Tigers play too rough. I don't want to be a lion. The lions ain't the kind you love enough, because I wanna be your teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck, lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let me be
your teddy bear. Oh, let me be,
oh, let me be
your teddy bear. You know I can be found sitting home all alone. Can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cruel, your heart is true. Well, maybe if I made you mad, there's something that I might have said. Please just forget the past, the future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel, your heart is true. Oh, I don't want no other love, maybe it's just you I'm thinking of. Don't be cruel, to a heart is true. Yeah, I don't want no other love. Maybe until you are in love.
Teddy Bear was one of Elvis's first.
Thank you.
In fact, there were several Elvis PR pictures made with the King holding a teddy bear. So the question of the day was for Elvis, is he really that fond of teddy bears? Everywhere Elvis went, some reporter would always ask about the teddy bear collection, and Elvis would patiently explain the teddy bear question over and over.
All that got started from a rumor. It was an article came out that I collected stuffed animals, and I was swamped with them. Actually, I mean, naturally, I keep them because the people give them to me, but I never even thought of collecting stuffed animals in my life.
Do you appreciate them now that you have them, or you just save them?
I keep them. I have them on, all over the walls and in the chairs and everywhere else.
Actually, Elvis could always count on three questions. One, about his teddy bear collection. Always some question about his mother and dad. By all accounts, Elvis was close to his family. And then there was a third question we'll get to in a moment. But first of all, the question of his parents.
They're in Memphis. They're at home. I talked to them this afternoon.
Well, how do they feel about you being on the road all the time? I mean, doesn't it bother them, and they like to see their son once in a while, I imagine?
Well, it's my life, you know. Yeah. And, they don't say too much about it.
They accept it, otherwise.
Yeah. Then, of course, the third question, it was always the question of marriage. Elvis, the most sought-after bachelor by millions of females here in the U.S. and around the world.
Could it be that one of these females had caught Elvis's eye? Was marriage in the future?
Are there any plans in the immediate future for marriage?
No, sir. None whatsoever.
How are your mom and dad?
None that I know of.
Almost everyone said Elvis was not involved in any relationships. In fact, in this early comment by Elvis in 1957, he pretty well describes the situation between the king and his female fans. By all accounts, was like this early Elvis cut, a rare recording of Elvis and a honky-tonk piano.
If you want to be loved, baby, you got to love for me too. If you want to be loved, baby, you got to love for me too. Oh yeah, cause I ain't for no one's not a love affair. If you want to be kissed, well, you got to kiss me too. Oh yeah, if you want to be kissed, well, you got to kiss me too. Oh yeah, cause I ain't for no one's not a love affair. Well, a fair exchange of vows and no robbery, and the whole world will know that it's true. Understanding solves all problems, baby, that's why I'm telling you. If you want to be hugged, well, you got to hug me too. Oh yeah, if you want to be hugged, well, you got to hug me too. Oh yeah, cause I ain't for no one-sided love affair. If you can't take it, well, no, baby, why try to give it? If you know you can't take it, well, then, no, baby, why try to give it? Cause I ain't for no one-sided love affair. Well, if there is change, if there's no robbery, and the whole world will know that it's true. Understanding solves all problems, baby, that's why I'm telling you. If you want to be hugged, well, you got to hug me too. Oh yeah, if you wanna be hugged, baby, you got to hug me too. Oh yeah, cause I ain't for no one-sided love affair. Cause I ain't for no one-sided love affair. Cause I ain't for no one-sided love affair.
The question of romance would later be used by Colonel Tom Parker, Elvis's manager, to develop Elvis into one of the better singers of the love ballad. This particular recording of an old love standard, Love Letters, shows how Elvis soon, in the 60s and early 70s, would be the master of the love song.
Love Letters Speak from your heart. Keep us so near while apart. I'm not alone in the night. When I can hold all the love you write, I memorize every line. And I kiss the name that you sung. And darling, then I read again from the start. Love letters spent from kiss the name
that you sound. And darling, then I'll be again from the start. Love letters straight from your heart.
As we produce this show, 31 years and one day after Elvis's passing in Memphis at his beloved Graceland, we hear all kinds of reports. UFOs over Elvis's tomb, reports of Elvis still in the mansion, the ghost of Elvis everywhere in Memphis. Some people even say they see him driving around. He did love cars.
I have too many. I mean, they just... Nobody drives them. They set up and they get stale. And well, I tell you what I did the other day. I had a German-made Messerschmitt, a little car.
Yeah.
And there's a guy there in town that has been wanting that Messerschmitt for the last year. And so he owns a clothing store, one of the top clothing stores in Memphis. So I went up there the other day and I told him, I said, you've been wanting that car so bad. I said, I'll make a deal with you. He said, okay. And I said, you let me pick out all the clothes in here that I want, you can have the car. So I was up there for about 2.5 hours, and the store was a wreck when I left.
They say when you walk the streets of Memphis, especially around Graceland, you can still feel the spirit of Elvis.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touched down in the land.
Remembering Elvis. 31 years later, after his untimely death.
W.C. Handy, won't you look down over me?
Don't forget that you can get the Elvis Presley story, a collector's item, simply by clicking on the banner here and ordering it, a 13-hour CD set.
Saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue.
This has been our tribute to Elvis. From 1957, his words and his music. This is Jerry Pippin. Good night.
Reverend Green, be glad to see you when you haven't got a prayer. But boy, you got a prayer in Memphis. Now Gabriel plays piano every Friday at the Hollywood, and they brought me down to see him. They asked me if I would do a little number, and I sang with all my mates. He said, tell me, are you a Christian child? And I said, man, I am tonight, walking in Memphis. I was walking with my feet 10 feet on the field. Walking in Memphis. Do I really feel the way I feel? Walking in Memphis. I was walking with my feet 10 feet on the field. Walking in Memphis. But do I really feel the way I feel? Suede shoes.